Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Valentine.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Valentine Show.
All right. Welcome to the second hour of the show. Just tuning in, just joining us. Let's give a quick recap of the show. I've been talking about the cost of gun violence, and I used my home city of Chicago as just the one city as an example. From 2009 to 2016, in a seven-year period, hospitals made $447 million off of gunshot wounds and violence in the city of Chicago. 7 years, $447 million. If you add other major metropolitan cities like Atlanta, like New York, like L.A., it jumps almost to $1 trillion. It jumps up to like $989 billion in a seven-year period. Now, let's really look at this from a point of view of economics, okay? You have black people killing each other, which is creating a genocide in our community. That genocide, in turn, creates us not having as many children as other ethnicities. That, in turn, creates less opportunity for somebody to be great to change what's going on in our communities. We have the least economic development going on in some of these areas in the country that are our areas, and we have the most violence. When you put that together, you have a perfect recipe for poverty. Now, who benefits from this? Everybody else in the world benefits from this except for us. Even in our death, they benefit. In our incarceration, they benefit. And we don't understand that it's a numbers game. It's a money game. Think about all the industries that rely on us killing each other and us going to jail. See, people don't think about this, but it's huge money in this, right? One of the top professions to have right now in a major metropolitan city is a mortician. If you own a funeral home right now in a major metropolitan city, that funeral home is averaging anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million a year in revenue. Even the small ones. I ain't even talking about the big ones that everybody use. I'm talking about even the little bitty ones. It is so much money in incarceration and death that they're not even trying to fix it. They're letting it stay where it's at. Because think about this. If you removed the gun violence and the shooting, that's $447 million that's taken away from doctors, nurses, pharmaceutical companies. If you remove those same individuals who went to court because of the gunshot wounds, you might be taking away jobs from police, judges, lawyers, stenographers, correctional officers, POs, drug testers, bed manufacturers, food dispensaries, toilet paper companies, because all of them making money off of it. Every last one of those industries. So if you remove the element that they making money off of, is no money for them to make. So they have to downsize them, get rid of them. I put something on social media the other day, how much money these telephone companies make just from the collect calls that these presidents make. Millions of dollars. See, what we're not looking at, and this is why I wrote the book, The Business of Love, because we don't look at nothing like a business except what we think is a business. Everything is a business. Everything. The reason why they will not clean up these neighborhoods, the reason why they will not stop the violence, the reason why they are not putting economic development in there is very simple. It is a lot of money in a generation of killing and locking us up. Once you run out of people to do it with, guess what they do? They come in and revitalize the neighborhood. They come in and buy pennies on the dollars. They revitalize it and gentrification happens. Look, one of the things that I've been working on is trying to figure out when they're going to do this revitalization in Flint. All right. Because they still haven't started doing it. The money is sitting there. I actually get confirmation that the money is sitting there and they're not fixing nothing. Well, when I start looking at the breakdown of some other data point breaks, what I realized was this. The reason why they haven't moved in fixing this yet is the population is too many people still there. They got enough people there where they can sustain, keep this money, let it grow interest, let these people kill and get locked up, and then come back in and fix everything because they want to make all the money they can make off of these people before they go in and buy the rest of the property up and revitalize it. They don't want to do it while they're there because they don't want them to be staying there. They're waiting for the, it's too many people. That's the whole problem. We ain't moved yet. They raised up the water prices and everything else thinking that that would be enough. We haven't moved, even though the water is dirty and everything else. And this has happened all over the country, y'all. They look at the poor, impoverished neighborhoods, whether it be white, black, Hispanic, whatever it may be. Once they locked up enough people and got enough people out of the community, they come in and buy it up for pennies. And then they turn around and revitalize everything. We have to look at this like a business. Even what's going on with Putin and Trump, like I told you, one of the biggest things that nobody's going to be talking about is Putin moving all this money. He's getting rid of all the debt that America owed to the to Russia. He's doing that for two reasons. One, he's trying to break all ties with Trump when it comes to money. And then two, he's getting himself in a position where if North Korea or any other nation goes to war, if Iraq goes to war with America, Putin can roll with them now because he is no debt owed. He got rid of the debt that the United States owed him. So he don't mind blowing them up now. He don't mind fighting them because, hey, he's not fighting against his own money no more. Long as we owed him, he's fighting against his own money. I mean, this is what you got to understand. It's all a business. And right now, what we don't understand is being poor makes you a hot commodity. Because if you poor, you more likely to be incarcerated because you can't afford to fight. If you poor, you more likely to die early because of the violence around you. And because of that, that makes you a hot commodity because you are the one thing that's become consistent to make that money work for these different industries. Nobody thinks about it like that, though. Nobody thinks about it in the sense that who's benefiting from all this violence? Who's benefiting from all this death? Nobody's thinking like that. Everybody's thinking about it in the sense of it's just business. It's not just business, y'all. It's not. Or it's just violence. It's just gangs. It's just drugs. It's not just that. It's money. You are money. If you are poor in this country, you are big money for hospitals and the medical field, for the legal system, for being an undertaker. You're huge money. You are a walking gold mine and don't even realize you're a walking gold mine. And this is why they have made no effort to try to fix this. I mean, let's just be logical for a minute, right? Let me show y'all something. And I want everybody who loves Trump, everybody who loves Obama, everybody who loves Bush or Clinton or whoever else, I want you to really stop and listen to what I'm about to say so that you understand that they got us so brainwashed, we don't even see what they're really doing. So, we bomb Iraq, even though they had no weapons of mass destruction. We bomb it, we tear it up, we tear it apart. We go in there, we change the regime, all this other stuff. Now, after we do that, we then in turn spend $10 billion to rebuild the whole place. All that history, all them old artifacts gone. We spent $10 billion to rebuild the whole place. We couldn't have put that in our own communities and changed everything. How do we have money to go rebuild everywhere else, but we can't rebuild at home? See, this is what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. So when y'all be talking about this race stuff, this is why I be like, y'all need to look at this a little bit differently for 1 second. You listening to the WB.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist. What?
Post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we're still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one truth fighter in America.
All right, so let me give you the quick rundown on everything. Now, let me tell you something that's really amazing, right? Let me give you something where if you at the water cooler or you on your job or you at an event and you want to sound like you like really, really, really smart, I'm going to give y'all something that y'all that most people don't even realize. How important is your brain? You realize the most complex thing in the universe is our brain. The most complex thing. And what's crazy is 90% of everything that's living on Earth does not have a brain. Do y'all know that? 90% of everything that walks on this Earth, that lives on this Earth, that survives on this Earth does not have a brain. They have neutrons for certain things, but they don't have a brain. That's crazy when you think about it, right? That's crazy when you think about it. And you got 86 million neutrons in your brain. 86 million. It's crazy. Now, for everybody who's coming in, the big announcement that I have for everybody is that I was going to set up a church. But it's not a religious church. It's a humanitarian church. We tearing down all the walls. We don't care about race. We don't care about income. We don't care about what your religious belief is because this church is about humanitarianism. We don't care if you're an atheist. No, none of that matters. Because what we're going to do is we're going to set up chapters throughout the country. And in these chapters, you guys are going to meet and talk about what's going on locally in your cities and state. Then we're going to have a big congregation meeting once a week where we come on and we talk about what's going on. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask people to join. And everybody make a commitment for $25 a month. Each month, we're going to take whatever comes in and gives it all back out. We're going to give it all back out to the people. It ain't no overhead for no church. It ain't no pastoral fees. Ain't nothing like that. We're going to take it all and give it right back. Collect and give. And so each chapter, each city, each individual in these chapters will get something coming back to them to help them pay their bills, help them get the kid through college, help them get, you know, whatever they need to do. But the purpose of this church is really to bring us together in our communities and collectively across the country to be there to help one another. That's what this is about. It's the same principle that spirituality, the same principle that the Christian belief was founded on. This is what the purpose of tithes were. You would tithe so that the widowers and the poor, when they needed something, they could come to the church and the church would give it to them. It would give it to them. And see, let me just say this, right? Now I'm going to have a conversation that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable for those who really are into their religion. Don't change your religion. Believe what you want to believe, but come be a humanitarian with us. Still go to church on Sunday, still tithe and offer with your church. I'm not asking you to change that. But it's going to be people who are going to be skeptical and say, well, this is man-made stuff. Well, I'm not setting it up like it's a religion where you getting the gospel of God. And if you look at every religion, it's man-made. Every one of them. I mean, and if y'all don't really believe this, just think about this logically. Scientology didn't exist 25, 30 years ago. Now they everywhere. If you a Mormon, your founder went into the woods, said Jesus talked to him and came back and created a whole church that is respected as a religion now. All of this stuff was made. I mean, if you really understand Christianity, Constantine and the Catholic Church put all these religions together and made it one religion. So don't tell me that we can't create humanitarianism through a church. Don't tell me that we can't do that. We can all come together and work together to help each other, to help each other do different things. Look, just last week alone, it was two people in the chat room. First, Kenyatta, who came in and talked about her son. Her son passed. It was unfortunate, but she's fighting to live, keep his name alive and to do something good to help other people. And she set up a scholarship and she said, hey, you know, can y'all help with the scholarship? I said, hey, yeah, go right ahead. Then Tamalit came in and said, well, I got something at my school I want to do too. But see, that's the whole purpose of setting up the chapters, right? Because see, everybody need help. Everybody got something. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I get probably on a monthly basis, at least 500 people sending me something saying they need to raise some money for something. Normally, I don't even address them. I don't say it because it's not fair to do it for one person and not for the other people, you know. And the reason I even address Kenyatta is because me and Kenyatta has been friends for over 20-something years. I mean, she was my PR person 20-something years ago. We in California meeting Ice Cube and Will Smith and them at the BET Awards. So she family. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, you know, of course I'm going to support you. You family. So, I mean, it's important that we understand that this has to be about all of us. This is why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because it has to be about all of us, because every one of us has somebody, knows somebody, or even us need some help. And so if we do it like this, when Tamala has an issue come up for her school and they need money, well, we got a Florida chapter. Hey, Florida chapter, it's 1,000 of y'all. Why don't everybody put up $5? Y'all got $5,000 to help them kids out. Hey, Texas chapter, we trying to raise $10,000 for this scholarship fund. It's 1,000 of y'all. Everybody get $10. Do you see what I'm saying? See, this way, we got local stuff, but we also got a national thing. And then the good thing about it, if we build this up, if y'all invite people, if you ask your friends and family members to come be a part of this, and we invite people to be a part of this, and we build this up to where it's 5,000 or more people in each one of these cities and states, at that point, not only do we have a social power, we got a voting block. We got a political power. Now we legitimately can say, we're not voting for you unless you tell us what you're going to do. And if it's not what we want you to do, we won't vote for you. We got enough people now that we can say, well, we can pick somebody to run. And we know we can raise the money for them because we got 5,000 people in each one of these cities. If everybody just give a dollar, if we got 100 cities and everybody give a dollar, that's $5,000 a city. We can make some noise like this. This is how you change this. This is how you fix this. Got to do it as a group. You listening to the WB.
There's so many young people dying in the streets, and education is a way to change that and opportunity. Mr. President, how do we emphasize this?
Well, look, the most important thing starts with parenting. Talking to young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine, coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the Truth Fighters in full effect right now.
Okay, I'm looking, and I just saw something in the news feed that's like blowing my mind. See, I don't know nothing about this because I don't be on stuff like this, so I have no idea about it. But apparently, a black man has just confessed to killing six women after tracking and stalking them on the dating app Tinder. So I guess he was on the app. He stalked them on the app, made contact with them, met up with them, and killed six women. Wow. This is crazy to me. This is absolutely nuts to me. But see, I don't be on sites like this, so I would never know. I mean, this is just unbelievable to me. Now, see, help me out, y'all. Really, I really need some help on this. Now, this right here, I can't even speak to you as somebody who's an authoritative figure on this, because I don't know nothing about none of these dating sites. But how do you just meet somebody on the internet and what the? I don't understand this. I mean, like, maybe I'm showing my age, but I would never, especially as a woman, why would you get with anybody off the internet that you don't know? I mean, it's just, I don't, man, look. I don't understand this. How do you even get, man. I mean, just common sense. Look, you gotta at least know somebody who know the person. Well, you can be like, well, what'd he do? Where he live? What is mama like? What is daddy like? What is brother, sister? You know anybody? Nah, I just met him on Tinder. He swiped left, I swiped right. I mean, this is crazy to me. This is absolutely nuts to me. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I got four sisters and a daughter. If one of my sisters or daughter got caught up in some stuff like this, I would be so mad at them that if they wasn't dead, I would want to kill them. What in the world are you thinking about? This don't even make sense to me. Look, let me tell y'all something. I'm a man. I'm a grown man. I ain't scared to fight nobody. I like fighting, actually, to be honest with you. But even me, I'm not gonna get with some woman I don't know nothing about. I don't know nothing about you, and I'm supposed to come be with you? Oh, hell no. That's crazy to me. That's absolutely crazy. Look, I told the True Hollywood story. I was in Miami. Give y'all one of these old Hollywood stories. One of the first ones I told. I'm in Miami. I'm at this radio convention, right? Now, at this convention, you know, I get there a day earlier. So I end up, my boy Nuke was playing for Miami at the time. I go over there with Nuke, go over to the club. Shaq's there, D-Wade there. They sitting at the table. It's a girl underneath the table doing God. I'm just assuming she was doing something, but I really couldn't tell because Shaq was talking like it was nothing being done, but I don't know. But she was underneath the table. My boys come into town that night. We go out, right? We go out. Two things happen when we go out that night in Miami and South Beach. First thing, I got some boys who, when they drink, they get beer muscles. They get tough, right? We go into a club. It's three girls at the bar. It's three of us walking in, right? So one of the girls was checking my boy out, right? So the way they were dressed, I was like, man, they look like they coming from some kind of event. They probably here with their dudes. You probably want to, you know, ease up on this. Nah. She checking me out. So he go over there. Sure enough, she over there with her dudes, right? So they get to, the dude gets to talking to my boy. My boy start talking crazy to the dude, right? So the dude was like, you want to fight? Okay, you want to fight? Now, mind you, I'm like intoxicated. I'm like, I'm not even like, I'm looking and listening, but I'm not looking and listening. But then something happened, right? Let me tell you what happened. The dude reached in his pocket and pulled out a mouthpiece. His other two boys that was with him fell back. That sobered me up like the police pulling you over. It's like, when I saw him reach in his pocket and put the mouthpiece in, I was like, oh, hell no. We're not fighting this dude. Who walks around with a mouthpiece in their pocket? He's either a UFC fighter or he's a boxer. I'm just like, he got to be one of the two. I'm like, I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And his boys fell back? That let me know this dude was a professional ass whooper. I wouldn't finish standing there and go round and round with a professional ass. It sobered me up. I was like, hey, yo, look, let me buy y'all a round of drinks. I don't know what this dude talking about. We ain't got no problem at all. Hey, bartender, get them around. We sorry we didn't see y'all. We out the door. Y'all have a good night. My boy, why, I ain't never seen you back down for a fight. I was like, he put a mouthpiece in. I said, my logic kicked in at that point, bruh. I'm not finna go. Ain't no dude walking around with a mouthpiece in his pocket. It just don't happen unless he's a professional fighter. I was like, no, 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 bruh. No, you gotta think about this. Oh, it's three of us. His boys was afraid. I said, no, his boys know he's a professional ass whooper, and they step back to let him whoop our ass. That's what they were doing. I'm like, man, look, he about that life for real, Doc. We ain't finna go down like this. So we go to the next club. On the way to the next club, right? We stop, we get something to eat. On the way to the next club, we see the two dudes, you know, the other dude wasn't around them. So we walking, and so I just stopped one of the dudes. I was like, hey man, what's your boy do for a living? Oh, he won the silver in boxing. He training right now for the lightweight championship for boxing. Oh, okay. That's all I needed to know. He's finna two-piece the hell out of us. I'm so glad my logic kicked in. I was, man, look, we're about to get the business, and didn't even know we was going to get the business. So we get to the next club, right? Now, my buzz is starting to kick back in. I'm at the club, right? Now, when I go to the next club, everybody in radio is at this club. You know, Ricky's there and Russ Parr's there. You know, everybody, Tom Joyner's there. Everybody's there, right? So we're in the club, and, you know, I spoke to everybody. Me and Ricky cracking jokes, hanging out, you know, because Rick, my guy. Me and Russ tripping. So I go over to the bar. Now, I'm at the bar ordering me a drink. It's this girl. And when I'm telling you, she looked like she walked straight out of a magazine. She's a Cuban girl. Looked like she walked straight out of a magazine. She's probably one of the most prettiest women I've ever seen in my life. This woman came up to me and was like, you know, I just like your vibe. I think I want to hang with you tonight. Can I come be with you? And I was like, what? I was like, which one? Who sent you over here, Ricky or Russ? Who trying to crack jokes? Nah, I'm just feeling you. I'm just feeling you. And she's like, if I'm not enough for you, hold on, right? She leaves. Now, I turn around. She's standing right there, right? So I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's like, I know you. I'm like, yeah, you know me. You was just talking to me, asking me, you wanted to hang out with me. I was just going to tell you, you know, if this wasn't no joke, I'm not that kind of person. She was like, oh, you the one. I said, I'm the one. I said, so it was a joke. She said, no, my sister just told me that we going to have to take somebody home today, or we may go home with somebody today. I said, your sister? She said, yeah. I turn around, her sister behind me, they twins. So in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I could have twins, two gorgeous Cuban women, twins. I can be a double mint guy. Oh my God, I could double my pleasure. But then my logic kicked in. Why they want your ugly butt? They finna rob you. You take them back to your hotel room, you're going to be running around with no pants, your wallet, you're going to be on TMZ. They wouldn't even be talking to you. Look at all these other dudes in here. What the hell is wrong with you? Don't be stupid. Excuse me, ladies. I'm having an asthma attack. I got to go. Go talk to them guys over there. I'll be back. I got to go get my asthma gun. See, the way my checking account work, my asthma gun is over here, my bank account over there, and I got to go. You listen to WB.
heard coast to coast and border to border, giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice. Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
All right. Let me thank everybody who's listening to the show. Tell your friends and family members about the show. Hey, have y'all, I want to know, y'all ain't tried that Wild Irish Rose yet for the weekend? Wild Irish and Sprite? Y'all got to get some Wild Irish and Sprite, man. I'm telling you. That's that joint right there. Starting tomorrow, next couple of days, we're going to do some good credit stuff for you, for business credit. I'm going to do a business credit piece for you guys tomorrow. I'll do a personal credit for you on Wednesday. And then I'll do what's going on politically, because it's a lot breaking right now. This whole thing with the Trump and collusion and obstruction, I think this is about to come to a boil and to a head. I think literally, I think that you have Putin even understanding at this point that this stuff is coming to a head. This is why he's moving all the debt he can miss into. He's moving all the debt he can move away from what is owed by America to Russia, because I think he understands that this is all about to come to a head. So I'll talk about that too. Donna, I appreciate you believing in me. Donna said, Warren, y'all could have took him. You could have beat him. Look, I appreciate that. You know, like I like a good scrap. Don't get me wrong. But I at least want to have a chance to win the scrap. I'm not a professional fighter. I'm not finna fight a professional fighter. It would be like he would be hitting me so quick and so fast, I would probably think I was fighting 3 or 4 dudes. I'll pass on that. Logically, that don't make sense for me to do. I'm man enough to say, hey, I'm like old boy on Friday. You want some of this too, old man? No. No, I don't. That's the difference between having knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is, I see he got a mouthpiece. Wisdom is, I can't beat him because he got a mouthpiece. He knows something I don't know. Hey, let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. Man, look, I ain't trying to be on South Beach lumped up, face all rocked up because somebody didn't put that 1-2 on me because my friend drunk acting stupid. Nah, it just ain't going down like that. It really ain't going down like that. Not doing it, man. Not doing it. And what's so crazy is I've never had a fight for myself. Like I've never had a fight because me and somebody just had a fight. It was all because it started because of somebody else. My whole life. Never had just a fight because of that. But nah, my logic kicked in. I was not about to be on South Beach, jaw looking like I got the mumps, you know. Then somebody trying to sneak, give me the crippler or rob me. Nah, that was just going to be a bad. That would have been such a. Think about that trip. If we'd have gotten to the fight, I'd have been looking like Rocky. And Adrian, I'd have been looking like I had the mumps. Then the twins, they either would have robbed me or gave me the crippler. I know they was doing one of the two. Man, now think about what that weekend could have been, man. Look. I'm so glad that I'm not one of these things just walking around with just neutrons. 90% of the earth have no brain. I'm glad I got a brain. I'm glad I got some logic. Because that'd have been a horrific weekend, man. Man. Look, Wild Irish Rose, if you got a food line in your Wild Irish Rose, they got Wild Irish Rose in the wine section. It's usually at the bottom because, you know, they don't want to put it up top with the most expensive stuff. It's at the bottom. But trust me, get you the Wild Irish Rose and some Sprite. Wild Irish Rose and Sprite. You be good to go. Be good to go. Trust me. Trust me when I tell you that. My logic is telling you this. I'm telling you this from a logical-based position. And if you believe in my logic, you know my logic is pretty sound. You know, even when I'd had, you know, a brick or two of Rose, when I saw the mouthpiece, I got real sober. Whoa, wait a minute. He has a mouthpiece. Who walks around with a mouthpiece? He's either a boxer Well, he's a UFC guy. Well, he's just extremely crazy. And he really about that life. What's the probabilities he's just crazy? Well, I did a quick algorithm in my head, and the probability of crazy was only 3%. So that left a 97% chance that he had some kind of professional training in fighting. I was not about to fight. Not at all. All right. Somebody asked which flavor of rose. I drink both of them. I drink the white and the red. Because when you mix it with the Sprite, it tastes the same no matter which one if you mix it with Sprite. It actually tastes like, I'm going to be, this isn't no joke. This is honestly 100% honest. When you put the Sprite with the rose, it actually tastes like rosé. Like if you've ever drank rosé, it tastes like rosé. And that's real talk, to the point where I went to a dinner event that one of my friends was having, and I pre-mixed the rose and the Sprite and didn't tell nobody. Every woman in there was like, this is the best rosé I ever had. Every woman. They thought it was rosé. They thought it was rosé. I'm dead serious. This ain't a joke. Not playing with y'all. Dead serious. Dead serious. Believe me. Bigly, believe me. Rosé like you've never had before. Dun dun. I give my stamp of approval. Believe me. So, let me close out the show with this. All right. We're going to set up this church, but the church is going to be about being a humanitarian, and we're going to set up the chapters. It's about being a humanitarian. It's not about anything else. It's not about religion. It's about us coming together and creating opportunities and creating information in our communities, okay? We need to stop the violence in our community, because they're making it's so much money being made off our death and incarceration. We got to change this. We got to show them another way to make money. Another way to make money that's not us dying and us being incarcerated. Because if we can do that, then it becomes good business for them, and then they'll help fix what's wrong. So tomorrow, let's talk about business credit. I'm going to tell you how you can grow some business credit tomorrow. If you don't do nothing else, tell somebody you love and appreciate them. May not get that chance tomorrow. That's why I tell you every day, I love you with the love of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the show. Not trying to push religion on you. It's just the greatest love I know. God bless you. God willing. Talk to you guys tomorrow right here on the WB.